Welcome to this module of Marketing 201. In this particular module, we're going to talk about something that is actually a very deep subject called marketing research. And marketing research is a valuable skill to have whether you are working for a nonprofit, for a church ministry, or even a for-profit business. We'll talk about marketing research, what kind of data you need to look for, why you need to look for it, and some of the different places you can go to retrieve the information that you're looking for. What is the definition of marketing research? Marketing research is actually the systematic and objective identification, collection, analysis, dissemination, and the use of appropriate information for the purpose of improving decision-making that's related to different problems and different opportunities related to marketing of your services, of your products, of your skills, of your ministry, whatever the case might be. So that's what marketing research is. It's just really a process that you go through to collect information, the appropriate information, reliable, authentic information that actually is valid numbers. So you want to make sure that you don't use bad data. Here's a little bit of a diagram about how the market research paradigm is all laid out. You start at the top by identifying what information is it that you need to have for your project. And then you go about the process of collecting that information. And in this particular day and age, there's an immense amount of data that's available online that you can use to collect this data, get your information from. The next thing you're going to do, the third step, is go through the process of analyzing this data, of crunching the numbers, so to speak. One of the things that's always puzzled me about marketing is how people always sort of have this impression that marketing is one of the black arts. There's really not a whole lot of art to it at all. It's very analytical. It can be very numbers-oriented. And this analysis process that you would go through is proof of that. And then you're going to go through a fourth step in the process called dissemination. In other words, who are your stakeholders in your organization that need to know the information that you are looking up? Is it the people who are doing product development? Is it the director of your agency? The senior leadership team at your church? Who needs to know this stuff? And this is, you need to be able to get that information dispersed out to them. And then the final step is using that information, making sure it's valid, like I said, and using that information to make appropriate decisions. Marketing research specifies the information that's necessary to address all of those different issues that we were just talking about. It manages and implements the data collection process. In other words, there's sort of a defined process that you'll go through, and then you'll analyze the results, communicate the findings and their implications, basically what we just were talking about on the diagram that we had immediately prior to the slide. There's different kinds of classifications of market research. Problem identification, and that is research that's undertaken to help identify problems which aren't necessarily apparent or appropriate on the surface, but yet they kind of exist or they're likely to kind of pop up at some point in the future. In other words, you know, they just kind of come out of things that come out of nowhere. This is what you're looking for. And some of the examples of that might be market potential for a particular service or a product, researching potential market share of a new product or of competitors who may have a competitive product. What kind of market share do they have? Images, in other words, people's perception of a product or of a business. Market characteristics, sales analysis, forecasting, trends research, all of that would fall under problem identification research classification. The second class here is problem-solving research. In other words, you're undertaking research to help solve a specific marketing problem. And in that particular example, we would be talking about customer or audience segmentation. We're talking about product or pricing problems, promotion problems, and even research about distribution. And distribution, I'm talking about say, different channels of selling your product or your services through wholesalers or distributors or online directly to clients or customers. So that's what we're talking about with distribution research. So here's a little bit more, a nice diagram that illustrates how this classification of marketing research falls out. We got the two different legs there, problem identification. The right leg is the problem solving research. Problem identification, we look at doing market potential. Who has market share for that particular product? In other words, who are the players in that business that exist? Image research, we're talking about doing who's got a good perception out there. Are there opportunities based on people who are doing a poor job of fulfilling orders or serving that particular market? Market characteristics research, in other words, what sort of product opportunities exist? What part of this market is not being tapped by the product opportunity that you might be researching? Forecasting research, what sort of sales forecasting would you predict out for the next year, for example? Business trends, what are the trends? Are the trends moving towards this type of a solution, or are they gradually moving away? Is it going to go out of existence in the near future? Problem solving research, again, we're talking about audience segmentation. We're talking about demographics, like what age group are these people in? What gender are they? Are they male or female? Product research, we're talking about pricing research. What are the different pricing levels? What sort of sales are taking place? In other words, quantity, unit, product unit sales, total sales for different price levels. So you're going to do that type of research. Promotional research, how are these people reaching the end client? And then again, the final one that you see there in the purple bubble is distribution research. How are they getting that product to clients? Are there middlemen in there, like wholesalers or retailers? Are there distributors in there? Or are you going directly from you to the end client? Let's talk a little bit about segmentation research. A couple of different areas here where you need to likely will be doing a lot of research if you're doing any kind of marketing work for an agency or a business. So segmentation research, one of the things you're going to have to do is what sort of basis of segmentation are you going to be dealing with here? And I had just briefly thrown out a couple of them. We're talking about gender type segmentation. Are they male, female? The other thing you can do is age-based segmentation. Is this product for kids under a certain age? Are they for young adults, like 20 to 30, or from 30 to 40, or even 10-year segments on up, 40 to 50, 50, and then retirees? The other thing that you'll want to do is you'll want to establish market potential and responsiveness for the various segments. So which one of those market segments is going to be really responsive to whatever product or whatever service that you're going to be putting out there? And you'll find that this is actually very critical, because what happens in these different age brackets, they may not need your product, number one, but even if they do all need your product, what will happen is you'll end up communicating to different segments of that age breakdown in different ways. So some age groups may be very responsive on Twitter, whereas other people are going to be looking for a direct mail postcard in their mailbox. This is really important for you to get right. Selecting target markets. You're going to look, this is not just geographic, but it's going to be geographic. It'll be the age. It'll be regional. I mean, you need to know where this stuff is going to be going. That's what it's referring to here. Lifestyle profiles, demographics, the media, product image characteristics? Are they looking for a luxury brand type thing, or are they looking for a cut rate, low cost provider of this product or service? So these are things that you're going to be looking for under segmentation research. If we step over to the right-hand side, we talk about characteristics for product research. And this also is a pretty critical area for you to get right, whether you're developing a new service, a new offering for your nonprofit agency, if you're looking for a new product for your business, or you know, whatever, you're going to need to test the concept. You're going to need to go out to the people that you'll be offering this to and asking questions. What do you think about this concept? And every single time I've done this particular aspect in my own personal career, when you go out and you start asking questions, you start getting answers that you never even thought of, new concepts, different ways that you can add value to what your idea was. You're going to determine optimal product design. They may come back with a whole lot of feedback for you on what they like about your product, what they don't like about your product, and stuff your product may not even have that it should. Packaging testing, you're going to need to look at the graphics, how you package the product. Product modifications, brand positioning. Is this going to be a luxury item, or is it going to be a low-cost entry into the market? And then continuing on with product research, you're going to deal with issues such as test marketing. You'll stick your toe in the water in certain controlled methodologies, I guess you might say, to find out how viable this product is at, with the features that it has and at the price point that you want to provide it for. So it's a lot easier to do a test marketing campaign and get the feedback that you need to have, and then come back, make your adjustments, than it is to just roll the whole thing out nationwide or worldwide and find out that you made a colossal mistake or oversight of some sort. So those are the real key components here. Probably the most important product research components for marketing research is segmentation research, product research. Pricing research, and then the second one that we have on the slide is promotional research. Pricing policies, do you want them to pay in advance up front before you deliver the product? Are you going to do payment plans like, you know, $300 per month for 6 months? You're going to need to determine the importance of price in brand selection, and what they're referring to here is, is this a luxury item? Are you going to position this as a high-priced, best-in-class, or are you going to start off with a low-ball product that's low-cost, that are going to be accessible to a wider audience of families with kids, for example? Product line pricing, kind of is in the same ballpark of what I was just talking about. It's product line pricing. Are you going to be high-priced, low-cost, or medium, middle-of-the-road type pricing strategy? Price elasticity of demand, this is referring to whether you are able to price your products in a way that you can respond to demand. In other words, is there a lot of room for you to move your prices around based on how popular it becomes? It gets kind of technical. I don't really want to go a whole lot deeper than that because you just got to know what your pricing is, how much room you have to move around with your price relative to the cost that it costs you to actually make the product or service, provide the service. Initiating and responding to price changes, you need to have a way of, as you go forward with any product, any service that you offer, assuming that you're working for a for-profit business, of monitoring your competitors, paying attention to what they're doing. Are they moving their prices around? Are they adding new features and benefits to their product line to increase the value they're providing to the end client? So you need to have a way of monitoring price changes and monitoring, doing competitive analysis, we call it. On the right-hand side, we deal with promotional research. You need to develop some sort of a budget. assuming that you would have a budget to promote yourself with. So you'll want to break it out by month. You want to break it out by a specific promotional channel, whether it's direct mail or advertising or cable TV or whatever the case might be. Sales promotional relationships, I'm assuming that most of you probably may not have a sales staff, but then again, maybe you might have people that you need to compensate sales commissions with. Promotional, this could also refer to doing sales promotions as in 10% off, 20% off, that kind of thing. Optimal product mix. Again, do you want to, if you're selling coffee, for example, do you want to advertise this in multiple different channels based on who drinks coffee? So if you're dealing with a coffee drinker, you're probably going to be dealing with people that are at least in their mid-20s, and as you go up that age scale, more and more of these people are going to, a higher percentage of these people are going to be drinking coffee. People who are 60 and over probably aren't spending a lot of time on Twitter. So you got to be paying attention to your optimal promotional mix here, in that the younger people may be on Twitter, they may respond to special promotions for coffee, but the people who are 60 and over will probably respond much better to a direct mail campaign, a very targeted direct mail campaign. Copy decisions, again, this is an area that we really aren't touching on in this particular course here, but writing copy is incredibly important to the success of anything that you do with relative to marketing. And I'll give you an example. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but I can give you example after example of email marketing, for example, where I'll take a subject line and I will write a subject line and I'll change or I'll transpose, I'll switch around two words in that subject line. The open rate, the response rate on one version versus the other will be triple or quadruple. I mean, it's crazy. So you need to pay very careful attention to the copy that you create for any of your promotional campaigns. It's very important that you pay attention to the perceptions that you create with this stuff. Media decisions. You know, what are you going to do? You're going to print it out and mail out postcards, or are you going to record some video and do it on cable television? You got to kind of figure out where you're going to go with this stuff so that you can create the marketing collateral that you need to have in order to proceed forward with this. Creative advertising testing, we're not Procter & Gamble. We're not selling all kinds of soap or laundry detergent or anything like that. But you do want to pay attention to what you're doing. Like I mentioned a few minutes ago with the email campaigns that I do, sometimes you want to just pay attention, and you want to, if you're not getting optimal results back at first from what you've sent out, you may want to try tweaking a few things and sending out a slightly different message. Evaluating advertising effectiveness is just critical. Whenever you spend any money promoting whatever it is you're doing, you need to know that money was well spent, and you will want to track every single channel that you've put your advertising in, whether you're going to go cable TV and direct mail, for example. You will want to track how many direct mail responses you're getting versus how many responses you've gotten off of your cable television campaign. All right, claim substantiation, I don't know where that came from. Claim substantiation, I guess, might refer to people who are claiming a coupon or some sort of maybe they won a sweepstakes or something. They're claiming your free product as a gift. Problem solving research. Let's talk a little bit about distribution research. You know, I mentioned earlier in this module, we talked about the wholesale part of this, or retailers, or if you're going to go online and go through Amazon.com or have your own e-commerce website or whatever. You need to determine what type of distribution you're going to have. Or maybe you manufacture some sort of equipment, some sort of machinery, and you're going to end up having a whole nationwide channel of manufacturers representatives who aren't on your payroll, but they'll get a commission every time they sell your product. So you need to figure out what sort of distribution channels you're going to have. And sometimes you can actually have more than one channel, but what you want to be very careful of is that you don't want to be having one channel cannibalizing sales via another channel. Intensity of your wholesale and your resale coverage, channel margins is something that you'll want to be very careful of. If you're going to end up manufacturing a product and you're going to send it out to retailers, or if you're going to send it out to distributors who then sell it to retailers, you need to be able to have enough room in the pricing so that each of them can pretty much just double the number and sell it successfully. So if you make a product for that you're going to sell to a distributor for $5, they're going to turn around and sell it for $10 to a retailer who's going to turn around and sell it for $20 to Joe Blow walking down the street. And then the other thing, too, assuming that you're going to go through retail or distributors or wholesale outlets or even manufacturers, reps, you need to understand where these outlets, where these people are going to be located in the country. If you're selling bathing suits or something like that in November and December and January down south in the southern states like Florida or Alabama or Arizona or wherever, it doesn't do real good to set up a whole distribution chain or a distributor in Maine or someplace like that, and at least not that time of year. So you need to be careful about where you're focusing your efforts on setting up your marketing and your distribution channels, the geographic location. All right, segmentation research. What's it look like? You're going to determine the basis of the segmentation, look at marketing potential and responsiveness for the various segments, selecting target markets, lifestyle profiles for demographics, testing concepts. You're going to look at product design, package testing, pricing research, the importance of price and brand selection, pricing policies. I think we kind of covered some of this, so this might be a little bit redundant here. Promotional research, you're going to look at optimal promotional budget, sales promotional relationships, copy decisions, distribution research. So here's another great slide here for the market research process. You're going to define the problem that you're trying to solve, develop the approach to the problem, formulate a research design, and this is almost like an academic level research project. I guess, to be honest with you, in 30 years of heavy duty marketing work that I've done, I don't think I've ever necessarily gotten this granular about defining the problem or developing a specific approach to a problem or laying things out in quite an academic or a scientific approach like this. But anyway, you want to know what kind of problem you're solving, because all of a sudden, if you're not focused on what you're trying to solve, you start solving every other problem except the one that you really wanted to set off to solve at the beginning. So you're going to look at defining the problem. Let's just collect the data, doing the field work to ask questions of your target market, collect the data, do your research online, and then when you get back to the ranch, you can take some time and go add up all your normalize your data is what we call it, so that apples are related to apples, oranges are related to oranges, and then you can kind of sit down and compare, what's this information telling me? And you can kind of prepare and present that report to the stakeholders in your organization that need to know the answers. There's a number of places that you can go. This used to be a lot more critical back in the day. The best comment I can make right now is that Google is your friend. You go onto Google and you can type in just about any question, and you'll just get page after page after page of information and data related to the question that you're asking. Full service suppliers for market research, you can get syndicated services, you can hire all this stuff out, but in the digital age, it's almost easier for you to just sit down with your laptop and just go through and do it yourself. I mentioned Google. Another big supplier that has this kind of information happens to be Facebook. And if you go into their ads manager that you might see in the left-hand side of your Facebook page, you can go in there and you can select any region as small as a single zip code up to, say, several counties within a state, or, you know, even a group of several states, or, say, the east half of the United States, or the whole North America, or worldwide. But you can take that targeted area, and then you can start adding any kind of questions you want in there. And just to give you an example, I know from experience that if I went into Facebook Ads Manager right now and I did a bit of an analysis, I can tell you that there are 620,000 people in the United States that have told Facebook they like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So think about the implications of that. If you can get research like that and get answers like how many people are there in the United States that like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, and Facebook has got the answer, what sort of trivia question can you come up with that Facebook may not be able to answer? So Facebook just has incredible information for that. If you're going to go out and have somebody do some research for you, like a research firm or perhaps a marketing intern from a local university or college, first of all, you just want to know what kind of reputation they got. Do they complete projects on schedule? Are they known for maintaining ethical standards? Are they flexible? And it's just kind of all the standard questions. I mentioned some marketing research firms. If you're working on a big marketing problem, like in my particular situation, we'll get involved very heavily with automotive companies, and there they'll spend millions of dollars on doing marketing research, and they'll come up with all kinds of very sophisticated bound volumes of information. But in your case, you might want to consider hiring that intern from a local university, somebody that's kind of maybe in their senior year, for example. Another very good possibility is you can go online and actually hire people to create this information for you. And one particular place that I use very frequently is a place called Upwork.com, UPWORK.com. You can go on there and you can write up a job posting describing exactly what it is you need to have, and you'll get multiple dozens of responses back of people who are offering their credentials and their services to help you achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. And the pricing on it is very favorable. You can hire people anywhere from $5 an hour to maybe $100 an hour or more, depending on what you're trying to get done. Alternate sources of data, again, we kind of covered this a little bit. Your local public library is great if you're into the offline volumes of information. And they actually do have some pretty good stuff in their reference departments sometimes. On the other hand, if you get a library card from the local library, many times they will have database subscriptions that you can sign in on their website and go to that particular menu item, and they have databases that you can tap into that aren't publicly available. So that's another thing to consider. Mailing list vendors. This is great for research. You tell them you want a list of everybody that subscribes to such and such a magazine or a combination of magazines or who knows what. And they will come back and they'll immediately tell you exactly how many names would be on a list that you might want to buy. The post office. Research data. This is a very underutilized capability, I guess. But you can sign on to a portion, a part of their website, the U.S. Post Office website, and you can actually target your direct mail postcards or your direct mail letters or whatever you're sending out down to the specific street level. Very, very, very helpful information or capability to have. Facebook ads, without ordering any advertising, you can use a huge list of their demographic criteria to spec out an ad, a potential ad. And you can use demographic criteria, personal interests, determine market demand or interest down literally, like I said earlier, to the zip code level. And you can try using this approach to determine how many people in the U.S. are interested in, like I said, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.